And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
We're the Pop Patrol. Head to the dirt.
Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need.
Worry about my posse getting jumped. Cause if we ever do, yo TB, pop the trunk.
Cause we make a pop the trunk and hit the switch.
Now act stupid, I'll pop the trunk. Now give me your boom, boom, boom.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose. What up, don't? I'm David Jacoby. And on the cool check-in. Center stage on the mic.
And we putting it on wax. It's the new style.
We're Jalen Jacoby. What do? We give the people what they want. So much to discuss today, but we start in Philadelphia, where two of the best bigs in the game went at it. We had a full-on scuffle, a kerfuffle, a back and forth. There's one headlock. There's some pushing and grabbing. And then it goes to the ground. And then we get Ben Simmons puts down to the chokehold. There is so much going on. Jalen Rose, do you consider this a hold-me-back moment or a real fight in the National Basketball Association?
I consider this a real fight in the National Basketball Association when Ben Simmons is on the back of Karl Anthony Towns' back and choking him to the point mm-hmm. where Karl Anthony Towns has to tap out on the ground to get him to let him go.
Jalen, I don't think he tapped out. He didn't tap out. I'm a backup cat. He did not tap out. He was just kind of trying to get up and slam in the ground. I'm going to back Towns on that one. Go ahead.
I'm going to back Teague because he had Towns' back just like mm-hmm. Simmons had Embiid's back. And so when the league looks at this, obviously yep. they'll both get suspended. Ben Simmons is going to get suspended. But can you run that video again? What people are sleeping on is the Jeff Van Gundy-ish moment for the coach that tried to get involved.
Oh,
don't
Brown?
Sleep on the coach. No, the assistant coach
tried
to get
right
involved.
Here.
If you watched it from the other angle, he got in the wrong place at the wrong time for the wrong reason.
Oh, it's great. Oh, yeah, he tried to get up there. Yeah,
he got
his ankle twisted.
It's
great. It was great. And, of course, both Embiid and Karl Anthony Towns faced the media after the big fight, and here's what they had to say.
First of all, I ain't no there was not a lot of talking. You were kind of happened out of nowhere. You know, I just did what I had to do. I was just, you know, trying to control myself. You know, it happens.
It was a competitive game. It was a competitive game. I'm disappointed we lost.
How do you view what happened with you?
It was just competitive. It's a competitive game. That's all it was.
Are you at all disappointed in yourself? You get drawn into something like that?
It was competitive.
So you could swing at him or are you trying to get him in a headlock?
This is competitive basketball gameplay.
Timberwolves PR was like, listen, here's what you say. Just say the word competitive over and over and over again. Just say competitive, and then we'll get out of here, and then we'll regroup, and then you can make a statement later. What do you think about the sound from both of them after the game?
Two of the most skilled bigs in the game. When we talk mm-hmm. about Porzingis a lot, I always mention that he's going to be one of four players that I believe will average 20 points and have two blocks. Anthony Davis, and these are the other two guys that make up that foursome. Really talented. I'm so glad that they were in close proximity of one another versus having the space to throw real punches.
Good point.
So ultimately just grabbing and wrestling one another stopped that from really escalating into an ugly scene.
Well, one thing that always happens is after the fight, it escalates on social media. It started with Joel Embiid, and he took to social media, as everyone does nowadays, and he said, great team win. I was raised around Lions, and Kat pulled on me tonight. Jimmy Butler, I miss being part of the third stringers. I got his mom giving me middle fingers, which is actually a fact. That's some serious real estate. And, of course, after that, Karl Anthony Towns had to respond, and he did so. He posted this picture with the finger on Joel Embiid with some words, raised around Lions, cap, 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 clown, clown. And he also posted a follow-up of Mr. Embiid crying after losing to the Raptors. Jalen, what do you think about the social media beef afterwards?
Well, it's almost like with Baker Mayfield, and I talked about this with LeBron James. It's one thing to have an opportunity to say something. And then when you have to go back and clarify it on social media, it always loses a little luster, mm-hmm. if you ask me. But at the same time, when Joel does put it out there, if you're Carl Anthony Towns, you must respond, especially when he puts your mom as a part of the tweet.
Ooh, that's a good point. I didn't really think about the mom part, but the mom was in the tunnel, like looked like she really wanted smoke with Joel Embiid. I'm here for all of this. I love the wrestling stuff. I know we're not supposed to promote violence, but I just love the drama. I love that they actually don't like each other. I love that they go to social media and they go back and forth. I love that they give us so much to discuss. It's just, I just really like this aspect of the NBA when it feels like players are not best friends. They're actually going at each other. And to put it in Carl Anthony Towns' words, it's a competitive game again. Well, Jalen, we have some bad news. Some really bad news. Steph Curry is no longer healthy. While the Warriors were getting waxed by the Suns, Steph Curry went up and then went down on his hand. Baines fell on him. He now has a broken hand. We don't know exactly how long he'll be out, but it sounds like it'll be a couple months. Jalen, Woj is saying that they're now scouting and preparing for a high draft pick. What are the implications of this injury for the Golden State Warriors?
On NBA Countdown, Jay Williams said that the Warriors wouldn't make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I said that they would based on two things, Steph Curry and Draymond Green.
Yep.
You take Steph out of that equation, now his statement becomes an accurate one. This squad will not make the playoffs, and that's obvious. But I have to do the national media thing that you know we like to do, whether Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or Tyler Herro, talk about our guys before everybody else is mentioning them. While Steph Curry did get injured, and that's unfortunate, I'm somebody that's broken his hand before, broken his wrist before. I have a plate and five screws in my hand. That's going to take him almost 2 months to get back. But let me make sure I say this.
Say it.
Aaron Baines is balling.
The Suns are balling.
Is balling.
The Suns are balling. They beat the Clippers. They were right with the Nuggets. And then here they are waxing the Warriors. Like the Suns, I'm not going to say they're going to win the West, but they've played really well out the gate this season. Please continue, Mr. Rose.
I'm the league pass fanboy type of person that works in the media. And he been balling. With that being said, no Steph Curry. It's going to be interesting character-wise how D'Angelo Russell approaches the rest of this year. Because he did get a big-time contract. He was an all-star last year. Now you're playing meaningful minutes without the Splash Brothers. And when you say that the Golden State Warriors are not going to make the playoffs, and I believe that to be true, if you're a player on that team, it's a lot of season left. It's a lot of season left.
A lot of games. So they got a lot of games left to play.
Him in particular.
They're going to put sneakers on 77 more times, and they're going to expect to win every time. And when they need buckets, they're going to look to D'Angelo Russell. That's their main scorer now. That's what the state of the Warriors is. You mentioned League Pass. Both you and I are on League Pass, and we're both on text. And there was a lot of text exchange about the game that went down in Washington between the Wizards and the Rockets. The final score of this game was 159-158, and it didn't even go to overtime. We had Harden with 59 points and the one-point win. He had some big free throws at the end. Jalen, you and I were both watching this game. What was your biggest takeaway as you saw the scoring and the scoring and the scoring?
Look at all that red, white, and blue out there from the Rockets, from the Wizards. All that was missing was the ABA red, white, and blue basketball. That's all that was missing. I right now want to give the NBA an idea. You know how teams have multiple jerseys. Mm-hmm. You should have multiple colors of the basketball. In particular, a red, white, and blue one to pay homage to the ABA. High-scoring game like this reminded me of that, seeing the colors out there on the floor. What are your thoughts on that?
So one thing that I want to talk about in this game is the Rockets' performance. Sure, they won. There was a lot of scoring, but it was a high-volume scoring from Harden, and low-key, we had a triple-double from Westbrook. Do you consider that to sort of be the balance where Harden is looked to score and Westbrook is looked to fill the stat sheet and do the other things as well as score?
You know how you're a terrific and amazing professional host. You're handsome. I love your denim jacket, but you didn't answer my question. What do you think about the red, white, and blue basketball idea?
Jalen, wait a second. I love the red, white, blue basketball idea. I already said that. And if we're going to start calling each other out for not answering questions, you don't want to start that with me. You don't want to start that with me. You've already not answered my questions like four times, and we're in the first segment of the show. Don't start that with me. Let's move on. Again,
yes, sir.
Like I said, we're in the first segment. We're on the fourth topic.
James Harden,
and
the best scorer in the game.
We haven't got to the World Series yet. We had a Game 7 of the World Series. In Houston, Game 7 of the World Series. It was tight. We had some good starting pitching until the game was opened up. Rendon with a home run there. And then the Nats bats got to the Astros pitcher. Opposite field for Kendrick. And that just opened up the game there. That gave them a one-run lead. And this Soto line drive gave him more runs. And it was over for the Astros. The road team won every single game of this series. The road team won every single game of this series. What do you think about this historic win for the Nats?
Where's Jessica Mendoza when you need her? Where's CeCe Sabathia when you need them? Didn't I tell you this severe underdog Nationals team was going to win the World Series? Didn't I try to tell you this?
Jalen, you know I don't like to compliment you. You know it's my least favorite thing in the world is to compliment you on wax, but I have to say this. You said that every one of your baseball picks this postseason was right. Every single one of your picks in the baseball postseason was correct, including Game 7 where you chose the Nats.
Thank you, sir. And now, what I appreciate about this Nats team, other than Strasburg and Scherzer, who clearly were lights out, didn't lose a game throughout this playoffs. I told you this was reminiscent of the Diamondbacks. I saw this movie before with Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling. But let's take it to the dugout. I'm enjoying the fact that baseball players are actually showing personality and having fun when they do something. I don't mind players hitting home runs and carrying the bat to first place. This is the type of thing that needs to be done to energize their fan base. Before the Nationals, again, their pitching was the key. They got it done. As you know, I'm not surprised.
I loved it. The Soto shuffle. I love Soto so much. I love the way that after the home runs, they do a little dance and then someone like hits the water thing. It just, they seemed like they were having a lot of fun. It reminded me a little bit of the Warriors like 4 or 5 years ago where they seemed like they were having the most fun and getting the most wins. Congrats to the Nats and the whole district. Celebrate. I always say people don't celebrate enough. Celebrate this. You never know when it's going to happen again. Jalen, it's time to get the people what they want. Plants capture CO2. What if we could help industrial plants capture it too? Think how we could help lower emissions. More and more scientists think carbon capture is the key to reducing CO2 emissions globally. It's just one way ExxonMobil is helping industrial plants be more like plants. That's the unexpected energy of ExxonMobil. Jalen, Kevin Durant made an appearance on First Take today, and he addressed potentially coming back this season. Let's listen to KD.
Have you completely ruled out the possibility that you can return?
Yes.
You're done. We won't see you at all this year in a Brooklyn Nets uniform.
No, I don't plan on it.
Jalen, I love this from KD. Just kill the speculation, kill everything. There's no chance I'm playing this year. What do you think about it?
No surprises. Due to time, he got injured in the NBA Finals. It takes 9 to 12 months to recover from an Achilles injury. He had a calf injury prior to having that Achilles injury. So when you sign him as the Nets, you understand that he's not going to play this year. He basically understands that he's not going to play this year. So no surprises for me.
Not that surprising, but what was surprising is this. We all remember what happened in Los Angeles during a break in the action when him and Draymond Green went back and forth. And we made a big deal of it in the media. And I thought at the time maybe we overblew the incident in the media. Well, apparently not. He was asked whether or not that was a factor in him leaving the Warriors, and you'll be shocked by his response.
Did that play a role in you leaving Golden State?
A little bit, yeah, for sure.
Do you want to expand on that at all?
Yeah, I mean, your teammate talked to you that way, you think about it a bit, but, you know. We talked about it, but definitely, for sure, I'm not going
to
lie about
it. Jalen, that was very early in the season for him to say it played a role in his decision to leave the Golden State Warriors. What do you make of that?
I remember coming on this program the day after that happened, and I said, when KD leaves, because everybody knew that he was going to leave, including his teammates, Draymond Green will now be the scapegoat for a lot of people because of that incident. I'm glad he said a little bit, which goes into my line of thinking of not, it didn't mean everything. Yep. It meant something, but it was not the reason. Everybody anticipated KD wanted to join the Warriors in order to chase championship glory. He was able to do that. Back-to-back finals MVPs. Once that was achieved, he also said that didn't make him as happy as he thought that it would. So I'm not surprised that he left. You're not surprised that he left. I just, again, want that segment of people that's going to try to make Draymond be the scapegoat. Or no, the people that work in this industry already anticipated KD was leaving.
One thing I like about the new KD is I just like how honest he's being. Like, he goes on Twitter and he shares his feelings with us. And in my mind, even if Draymond, that incident and Draymond's behavior did play a role in me leaving, I probably wouldn't share that into a microphone on national television. But KD's just open and honest with us, and I am all the way here for it. And Jalen, there's been so much that happened last night and this morning in the world of sports that we had a game between two of the best team in the Eastern Conference, and almost feels like an afterthought. The Celtics were trailing by 19 in the second quarter, came all the way back to win, a pretty decisive win at that, and they had a breakout performance from Kemba Walker with 32 points, 6 and 6. What do you like what you saw from Kemba?
So these are two teams to me that have opposite strengths. For the Boston Celtics, I think their strength is on the perimeter. You showed Kemba, smart plan D. Gordon Hayward scoring and playmaking. And you know about Jason Tatum and obviously Jaylen Brown, who they just gave a big-time contract to and is well-deserved. And for the Bucks, their strength clearly is the reigning MVP, the Greek Freak at 7 foot tall and both of the Lopez's. Yep. So it was a contrast of style watching this game. And it made me realize something.
What's that?
The Celtics are a bad matchup for the Bucks. If you really look at the players on the perimeter for the Bucks, Bledsoe, George Hill, like the guys that are getting minutes other than Middleton, the Celtics had the advantage at a lot of those matchups. And when you can keep the Greek Freak on the perimeter, that negates a lot of the size that makes the Bucks have that advantage. And now we're able to rebound, you're able to get out and transition. So that's the thing that really stood out to me when I watched this game.
Well, you mentioned keeping the Greek Freak in the perimeter, and a lot of people correlate free throw percentage and free throw behavior with having a jump shot and how you're going to shoot it in the action of the game. Well, that's not good news for Giannis Antetokounmpo, who took to the free throw line and did this. Take a look at him. He's getting warmed up, you know, doing it without the ball. Then when he does it with the ball, pretty much the same result. I mean, he didn't just miss that one. He missed it by like 2 inches. That was the first of two, mind you. And here's the second of two. Two straight Jalen Rose. Two straight air ball free throws. I'm going to do the media thing and read too much into this. I understand everyone has airballed a free throw before. But to reset and to do it twice in a row, that indicates something bigger to me. Am I doing too much when I say that?
Absolutely, indicates something, David Jacoby. In the offseason, we talked about the leap in Ben Simmons' game and would he be able to shoot and make shots outside of the paint. We celebrated, as well as his teammates, when he made one in preseason. We talked about it on this show, and I said, I don't believe that's going to transfer to the season because them celebrating like that means that he's not doing it in practice.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same thing for the Greek Freak. A terrific player, but you can tell the physicality of every and his mechanics are there, but mentally, it's not there. And so not one air ball, but consecutive air balls lends you to believe that 15-foot shot does not translate into a guy making three-point shots at almost 24 feet. So this is something we should be monitoring for the near future.
Yep. Jalen. So much happened in the NBA and the World Series last night, but we really have to focus on one of the most impactful things that happened, and that is the injury of the hand of Steph Curry. It happened here when Aaron Baines, you'll see his butt lands right on Steph's hand, and Steph has a broken hand. You also had a broken hand. What do you think this means in terms of the Warriors and Steph and his recuperation?
Well, there are a couple of different things. Is he going to need surgery? And will that surgery require him to need some pins and screws put in his hand. Because as a member of the Raptors, after coming back from having a broken hand, I probably came back maybe 2 weeks too early.
Ooh.
And I missed almost 2 months. So I played with my version of a Michael Jackson glove on with a cast on top of it, which clearly became a target for the defense to swat at my hand as they were going after the ball. And it hurt very much. And so for Steph, this season is now lost with the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. I know he probably had aspirations of playing at MVP level, yep, of showing everybody he can lift this team to the playoffs, along with Draymond Green and D'Angelo Russell. That's not going to happen. So now you don't have to rush him back. And so for Steph, I think the recovery process is going to be a lot longer because they're going to play it safe, and rightfully so.
I think that's a really good point. And one thing I do still want to mention quickly is the implications aren't just for the Warriors. Leaves a spot open that I think the Dallas Mavericks will slide into in the Western Conference. We'll monitor that as the season continues. And one thing that we have been monitoring is the behavior of Kyrie Irving. Jackie McMullen had a piece a couple days ago just talking about the front office being a little uncertain about some of his mood swings. And then we heard from the head coach and his teammates, but we hadn't heard from Kyrie until last night. Here's Kyrie responding to the reports.
Who cares what ESPN says or anyone says? Like, I love myself. I love my family. I love my friends. I love playing basketball. I'm grateful to do it every day. That's going to come with being one of the top players. I'm not here to dispel anything. You can continue to ask other people around me about what they think about me and continue to write about mood swings. Like, you know, human beings have mood swings. Like, you go home and you're not happy with things, or you're mad at something and you're happy. That's a mood swing.
Chaelin, what do you think?
I love his answer, and it kind of mirrored what I said on this show. All of what this dynamic boils down to is your role and space on the team. As the 15th man, when a report like this comes out, your teammate's going to be behind you ride or die. When it's your best player, they're going to double down on that support. And so for Kyrie, I saw a level of responsibility and maturity that it's one thing to perform out on the floor, but what people underestimate is as an athlete, you also are required to be on pretty much all of the time. Whether you're at a restaurant, whether you're at an airport, whether you're in front of the media. And so there are going to be times that you don't feel like your best version of yourself. And that's really what he articulated.
Jaelin, how come every time I'm with you, you are always so sweet and always so nice to everyone that recognizes you? I've never seen you not be your best self when someone in public recognizes you.
I'm not Kyrie. And here's the other thing. All that is your personality. Just look back for public consumption ever since you saw me playing in high school, playing in college. I was always brash. I was always outspoken. That's my personality. That not necessarily his or KD's for that matter.
You know what's going to help all this story? They get some wins. They're sitting at 1-3 right now. And one thing I learned from my friend Jaelin Rose is winning is the best deodorant. If something stinks, get some W's up there. And guess what? The mood swings don't matter anymore. None of it matters anymore once you get some wins. Once the Nets start winning, we'll see. Jaelin, this is something I really wanted to show you because it involves both Halloween and it sheds light that you and Lamar Jackson have something in common. Let's listen to the Ravens quarterback.
What was your Halloween costume for a Ravens party?
Harry Potter. I was Harry. I thought I was pretty cool. Had a little coat on. I felt I was back at the Wizards place. It was pretty dope. Yeah.
Are you a Harry Potter fan?
Yeah. I wouldn't say I am. I watched a few movies, but it's pretty long. And I get sleepy. So I'd be watching it for like a good hour, then I just, yeah, Harry Potter started watching me. So.
Jaelin Rose, I've been to many movies with you, and I've never seen you stay awake through an entire movie. Now you and Lamar Jackson share that in common. What do you think about you and Lamar sleeping in every movie you've ever seen?
You know how much I love lobster and popcorn. So Paint the scene. You're indoors. The air condition is on. They do a really good job of having these big luxury chairs that fall back. And now they have the nerve to serve adult beverages in the movie? Oh, man.
That's a I've seen Jalen fall asleep during the trailers. Like, the movie didn't even start yet, and Jalen is asleep. The Jalen and Jacoby Podcast is presented by Goodyear. Discover the possibilities. Goodyear. More driven. We have Anita Marks in studio right now, dressed as...
Gardner Minshew, baby.
Gardner Minshew. And if you're just listening to the podcast, you can't see her. She's got the glasses, the mustache, the flavor saver, the sideburns.
The jockstrap.
The headband, the jockstrap.
Right.
The hair. Mm-hmm. This is amazing work. Amazing work from you.
What's up, man?
Thank you so much just for bringing it. See, me and Jalen are washed. We don't get dressed up anymore. We're old. We're lazy. We're tired. We're washed up. We appreciate your youthful energy on the program.
I love Halloween.
I like Halloween, too.
Here's the thing. I think people who love candy corn love Halloween. People who don't like candy corn don't like Halloween.
Reggie, hit the brakes. You like candy corn?
I love candy corn.
What? I'm sorry. Say that again, please.
I love candy corn.
What?
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 There is no one else on the planet, in this entire species, that has ever uttered that phrase. Like, I thought candy corn was just universally known as a trash candy.
I love it. It's even better when you refrigerate it.
All right, let me ask you a question. What does candy corn taste like? Like, what flavor is it trying to represent?
That's a great question, because there's nothing else on the planet that tastes like it, right?
Yes.
So it's a very unique...
Nope.
It's just a bunch of sugar.
It's what it is. It's just sugar.
Right.
I mean, let's be honest. It's just sugar.
So I take it you don't like candy corn.
No one likes candy corn, Anita.
Except me. I'm the outlier.
No one on the planet likes candy corn.
Me and Gardner Minshew.
So Jalen, oftentimes we collaborate on the topics for the show, and he'll text me topics and, like, you know, we're on text threads, various different text threads. You never know which one he's going to hit. There's different group texts. And he hit me with this story that's a little too hot for TV, Reg.
That's right, because the executives don't listen to the podcast.
Yes, okay. Executives don't listen to the podcast, so there's certain topics that Jalen will send. I'll be like, that one's not going to work on the TV show. This was a man had a bag of marijuana removed from his nose after it was up there for 18 years.
What?
Jalen, my question for you is, do you think he smoked it?
Yep, medicinal.
He definitely smoked it.
Definitely.
This is something I remember early 90s. Look out. It's the Funkadelic Funk for Chump that don't be knowing my name. For everybody that don't know, that is classic bars from one gentleman named Reginald Noble.
Shout out.
A.K.A. Redman.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time where he would rock a piece of tissue in his nose.
Mm-hmm.
I did the same thing.
Method Man did too.
To pay homage. No doubt about it. And I have bad sinuses. So I figured this gentleman was channeling his inner Method Man, Red Man, and Snoop Dogg. Put the bag of marijuana under his nose. And I know you don't like follow-up in his nose, but I know you don't like follow-up questions.
Nope.
I got no
but
answers.
I wonder how many times this gentleman has gone through an airport with that bag of marijuana in his nose, considering the laws have changed a lot over the last 18 years.
Over the course of 18 years, I am sure that he has gone through airport security many, many times. He's probably been barked at by a few police dogs, and they just didn't know what was going on. I just don't know. I'm not a doctor, Anita, but where in the nasal cavity does a bag of marijuana stay for 18 years?
And how is this bag not broke yet?
Yes. How does disintegrate?
And here's another thing. Like, thank God it did not. Because if it would have, I mean, guy probably would have died.
You know what I like? Just imagine how good it felt to have it removed for this guy. Like, he's probably, like, had migraine headaches. He's probably been to, like, various doctors, Eastern medicine, Western medicine. And when they finally, like, took a pair of pliers or whatever and took this thing out, I'm sure he felt great. One time I had my nose broken. They broke it back with a screwdriver. And
what?
For the swelling, I was like, do I get some pain meds or something out of this? And he was like, he gave me two tiny cans of Dole pineapple juice and like, take this for the inflammation.
What?
Did you break it playing basketball?
Not that time.
No?
No. Let's just say I didn't break it myself. That time.
That could be a good story for the podcast.
We have nope. Scientists have successfully performed brain-to-brain activity communication. Telepathy.
What?
So there's three of us. Anita and I are in the studio. Jalen is remote. What they have done is they have, between me and Anita, just purely thinking that we can coerce Jalen into performing a task just with our brains. Scientists have done this. Jalen Rose, do you believe in this?
Not gonna be able to do it!
You don't think that Anita and I can just think and then make you do something?
I'm thinking of something right now.
Hold on. I'll think.
Wait, we're gonna write it down.
And we're gonna make you do it.
So, is this people that know you on what scale? Because it clearly doesn't work for strangers.
It's strangers. This is a scientific experiment. I'm not the scientist that performed this. I'm just here to, I'm the journalist here to report the facts.
Okay, so we're both thinking about this one.
We're going to make you do something, Jalen, right now. We're both thinking it. Ready? 1, 2, 3. So far, no good. Nope, didn't work.
You're not doing anything, Jalen.
Yeah, we wanted to make you brush your hair. I figured that was the most likely thing for you to do was gonna be brush your hair. that was most likely.
Well, you thinking that into existence? See, no, that's cheating. Because first off, the experiment didn't work. Nope. Second, you're thinking of a habit that I normally do while I'm performing on this show.
Yes.
So that ain't thinking me into doing something that I already be doing anyway.
Well, I mean, I don't think...
See, I was thinking, pick his nose.
Yeah, I can't think you into speaking Latin. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a hypnotist. Do you believe in hypnotism, Anita?
I do.
You think they work?
Absolutely.
Have you ever been hypnotized?
I have not, but one of my favorite books, Many Lives, Many Masters, is about a girl who had anxiety, and she used hypnotism to try to relieve herself of anxiety, and they found out that she had all these past lives. And it's a very fascinating, yes.
Wow.
So she had been, and here's another thing you learned from it, is that souls travel together.
Okay.
Jalen could have been your mom in a past life, or you could have been Jalen's wife in a past life. Like, souls travel together when they get reincarnated, and you're reincarnated until you've learned all the lessons in life, and then you become an angel. It's just that simple.
That's how it works.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Jalen,
many lives, many masters. Read the book.
Will you agree to be hypnotized for Jalen and Jacoby, Jalen Rose?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Certain things I just feel like are taboo that, you know, go against a couple of my beliefs. That and fortune tellers. Do you guys believe in fortune tellers? And if so, have you ever done it?
Yes.
You have?
Yes. I used to have instead of like a psychologist, I used to have somebody that I would see once a month who would not a fortune teller, but a psychic. That I would go see once a month, and a lot better than a psychologist,
because
they knew what was coming, right? So they kind of helped guide you a little bit better.
Okay, well, you know what's coming.
You're learning all these new things about me today.
Yeah, it's great. The reason I don't dabble in any of that stuff is because I do believe in it. Does that make sense? I do believe in it, so I don't go near it. Well. Baker Mayfield stays in the headlines, and it just seems like this is the most talked about 2-5 quarterback in the history of the NFL, and dealing with the media like this isn't going to keep him out of the headlines. Here's Baker Mayfield being asked some questions by Cleveland media.
After the blocked field goal at the end of the first half, the 2-minute drive, it seems like there was a lack of urgency there, or was something going on.
There's a penalty, so we're negative yards.
I know, but there was a lot of time between snaps.
When the penalty happened, then we're behind the chains. No, stop saying but. I just told you the clock was running and we had a penalty. You want to give them the ball back? No, you don't play. You don't know. That's just plain and simple. Was I happy with the drive? No, we didn't score points. That's the dumbest question you could ask. What? Jesus.
He just walked out, but then he took to Twitter and he tweeted, "This is a follow-up. Everybody wants to hear the truth until they actually get it. I am who I am, and that's who I always have been. Don't call it emotional when it's convenient, then call it passion when it fits." He went on to say, "My sense of urgency is at an all-time high, and I'm offend anybody along the way. That's too bad." Anita, I'm going to kind of side with Baker in this one. It makes logical football sense, his explanation. I don't love the way he handled it, but I thought the actual sense of the answer made sense to me.
Look, you know, he was drafted first overall. I went 178.
Yeah, Gardner, right?
I'm sorry. I just walk around the locker room in my jock strap. Like, I don't know the pressure that he's going through, man. But no, okay. So here's, like, Anita. Here we go. Here's the thing. You went number one overall. The Browns organization has invested a ton in you. Coming into the season, they went out. They brought in Odell Beckham Jr. They bring in some great defensive players. People had already appointed the Browns to win the Super Bowl this year. You are now sitting at 2-5. You are the quarterback. You are the field general. You are the leader. You need to have some maturity. Things aren't always going to go your way. Keep in mind, not only are they 2-5, him and Jameis Winston have thrown the most interceptions in the league this year. His offensive line stinks. His wide receiver, Odell Beckham Jr., has a man crush on Tom Brady, buying him cleats that are made out of goat's hair. I mean, really, like the sky is falling on Baker Mayfield. I get it, and it's a frustrating season, but you are the leader of this team, both on offense and defense, because you are the quarterback. You need a lot more maturity. You need to handle it better. And so very, very disappointed with the way that he handled this. Here's another thing. As a quarterback, as a head coach in the NFL, it's always in your best interest to make friends with the media.
Yeah.
It's always in your best. Take it from me. I mean, listen, I've been here in New York now for over 10 years. It's always best to have friends in the media. They will back you. They will support you. They will not run with the horrible, horrific stories. I just think he's handling this all wrong. He's not being guided properly. And
Jalen, what do you think about the way Baker handled it?
This is a classic example of it's always best to say less, especially when you're in a position of leadership like Anita just alluded to. As I transitioned from being a player to working in the media, a lot of people underestimated the fact that radio, TV, film was actually my major in college. And the reason why I bring that up is because one line that Baker said can't get ignored, the "you didn't play" part.
Mm-hmm.
Players have to stop running to that. Does that mean Anita can't talk about football because she didn't play? Does that mean I can't talk about baseball because I in the NFL, you did play in Las Vegas, as a matter of fact. I got you. So that distinction has to go with a level of respect. Basically, he doesn't like that person, and it showed, and you can't allow this situation to be personal. We could talk positive 99.9% about a player. The time you talk negative about them, that's when they get upset. That's when they get in their feelings. That's when they start to clap back. That's why on this side, you can't try to please everybody, and Baker, from his side, he shouldn't be trying to make a personal enemy with somebody of the media. Is really unnecessary. It should be beneath.
Well, you also shouldn't make enemies with the New England Patriots. And that is kind of what Ravens tight end Nick Boyle has done in advance of the big face-off between the Ravens and the Patriots. Here is what Boyle had to say.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how good they are once we play them. I mean, I don't think they've seen anyone like our offense or like Lamar, a special player. But, yeah, they're a good team, and we really need to bring our A game, make sure we're on everything.
Okay, not that bad, but not how I would have handled it. Anita, what do you think about Boyle's remarks?
Listen, you never want to give Bill Belichick and the Patriots more bulletin board material.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what, this game, Sunday night, it's going to be good.
Yes.
It's going to be good.
Yes.
I've been doing my research. I like the Ravens, guys. There's a lot of things that lean towards the Ravens. I'm telling you, John Harbaugh, a.k.a. Harbs, he's had 2 weeks to prepare for this. They're finally healthy. They get Jimmy Smith back. Man, that secondary with him healthy, Earl Thomas, Humphrey, Peters, one of the best secondaries in the NFL, Lamar Jackson, no way they're going to be able to play that zero coverage and contain Lamar Jackson. Mm. I love the Ravens on Sunday night. Let them talk as much as they want. I say Ravens win outright.
You heard it here first. Ravens win outright. That it sounds like something that usually goes in the degenerate fan corner. Let's go there right now. Every week, Anita comes over to the Degenerate Fan Corner with Jalen and I and gives our audience that happens to live in states where gambling is legal a little bit of advice of what to do with their money this NFL weekend. And this week is no different. Gardner Minshew, it might be against league policy for you to do this, so we'll have Anita do this week. What do you think about Week 9.
All right. Like I said, I love the Ravens, and I know they're getting 3.5. Heck, I'm putting money on the money line. The money line is plus 145. That's how confident I am that this Ravens team. Here's the thing. Who have the Patriots played so far this season? Granted, you could say, well, wait a minute. They beat the Cleveland Browns last week. Yeah, horrible offensive line. They got to Baker Mayfield. There's a lot of horrible things that are happening with that team and that organization right now. So I'm very confident in the Ravens.
Wow.
Again, the money line, plus 145. Wow. I'm going to talk about my team, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Good.
You know, we're going across the pond, but people don't realize that's home for
us.
This
is a conflict of interest.
That's home for us because, you know, out of all the teams in the NFL, we played the most over there across the pond. In fact, each and every season. On top of that, you got Deshaun Watson. He's dealing with an eye issue. No J.J. Watt.
Mm.
By the way, my QB rating, 133 the last 3 weeks with passes completed over 15 yards or more. So I like my chances. Also, the Houston Texans giving up 3 touchdown passes against other quarterbacks the last 4 weeks. You got Jacksonville. And by the way, we're getting points. Plus 1.5.
Jalen, do you hear what Gardner's going with? Gardner has the Ravens and the Jags winning outright. Do you agree?
I do agree. I really do. You know how much I love John Harbaugh. And the Ravens play a unique style of smash-mouth football that we don't normally see. Multiple tight ends lining up. Multiple people in the backfield, sweeps for their quarterback. Mark Ingram, I think, is going to have a big game. And I like that you talked about their secondary, Anita, because I always stress that that's my favorite position in the game. They even tried to go after Jamal Adams. So I appreciate the Ravens, and I also, with Anita, believe they're going to beat the Patriots this weekend.
So, Anita, we're sort of – there is no true halfway point in the NFL season because of the way it's 17 weeks, but we're kind of right there. And now that we're in the degenerate fan corner, do you have any advice for those of us that are looking forward in the season?
I do, and here's some great futures bets for you. So, for the Seattle Seahawks, they're sitting at 6-2. They've had the sixth easiest schedule so far this season. Advancing, they have the second most difficult. So I'm going under 10 wins for the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, and they're going to win 3 more games the rest of the season.
That's at plus 137. They take on the 49ers twice, at the Eagles, at the Rams, the Vikings, at Carolina. And here are some other good ones for you. Oakland, they're 3-4. They've had the third most difficult schedule. Moving forward, they have the fifth easiest. I say Oakland makes it to the playoffs, and that's plus 410. I feel the same way about Carolina. They've had the fifth toughest schedule. They're moving forward with the eighth easiest. I say they make the playoffs at plus 410. And here's one for you, Jalen. The Detroit Lions.
Yes.
Okay? The Detroit Lions. They've had the seventh most difficult schedule so far this season. Moving forward, they have the 16th easiest.
Ooh.
I say they win over 7.5 games, and that's at plus 118 right now. They take on Oakland, Washington, the Bears. Everybody is all over Trubisky. The Bucks and Denver, who no longer have Joe Flacco at the helm. So the Lions, plus one,
Jaylen,
plus over 7.5 wins for plus 118 Jaylen, for you, Jaylen.
The good news is she has the Lions winning a lot of games the rest of the season. The bad news is 8 wins, 9 wins, not going to get you in the playoffs. Do you still believe the Lions will get to the playoffs, Jalen?
Kerryon Johnson got injured. Kerryon Johnson got injured. At that point, I felt like that was our opportunity to make the playoffs. Gone awry.
Yes.
I don't think they'll make the playoffs, but I think there is a good shot that they do win 8 games.
That's a great point. Anita, I'm sorry, Gardner, it's so nice to have you here. I just want to congratulate you on your breakout season. You've just captured the zeitgeist like no other rookie quarterback has in a long time. Thank you so much for coming, Gardner. Maybe Anita will join us once again, but Gardner, you're welcome back.
Remember, vote for me, rookie of the year this year.
I don't think the Ravens are going to win.
You don't?
No way.
Bottle of wine?
Bottle
of wine, straight up. No point.
Sure, like a $40 bottle of wine, though.
Done.
Okay. Done. Easy. Putting it on wax. Jalen, week 9 is already upon us. We have Thursday Night Football tonight where the undefeated 49ers take on Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. Any chance we get an upset this evening?
There is not a chance that we're going to see an upset, in my opinion. I think what Kyler Murray is basically doing with his team has been remarkable. They've had some issues in the backfield, dealing with some injuries to multiple people. Yet still, he finds way to make plays. He's shown me a lot of promise. But the 49ers defense is legitimate. Bosa getting after the quarterback, Sherman getting picks. And the 49ers play their own version of Smash Mouth football. They actually run it, have more design runs than any team in the league. So I'm going with the 49ers.
I love the way that they mix up the runs. I mean, it seems like Kyle Shanahan is just like, comes up with new ways to run the football every single week. And tonight will be no different. I think the 49ers win. Jalen, I cannot wait for this news that matters. I saw this headline and we just had to put it in the show. Jalen Rose, you have been to the P.F. Chang's in the Atlanta airport. And just imagine that you sat down at your table and the server came over and you looked up and the server was Bill Murray. That could be a reality. He was on a podcast and he said he actually applied for a job there because he liked the vibe so much. P.F. Chang's tweeted, Bill, you're hired. When can you start? Jalen Rose, what would you do if Bill Murray was your server at P.F. Chang's?
Well, I wouldn't tip him like I would normally tip my server.
Why not?
How about that?
Why not?
Because they gifted him the job because of his fame. He's supposed to have to come in and apply and do all of the stuff that go through the process and didn't get hired. You can't just hire him
because he's famous. You're like, this guy's not properly trained. The service wouldn't be good. You'd ask for a different server if Bill Murray came over. Please. If Bill Murray came to my table, I would do everything I can in my power to make him sit down and have a meal with me. That is probably one of my top five people in the world to have a meal with. If you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave us a voicemail. Especially ladies, we need your voicemails for our Women's Wednesdays.
Hey,
but
ladies!
Now on this Halloween, we are taking all callers like this one. Rich?
What's up? This is Travis coming all the way down from Alabama. Can I get a roll tide? Shout out Rez the Ledge. Hey, I see you on the gram and the bird, but
shout out
Jalen. Keep giving the people what they want. Shout out Jacoby, par league veteran. I got a cultural regional. It's about to be trick-or-treat. It's about to be Halloween. Is it cultural or regional to give out candy? Yeah, because I know a lot of people that's Jacoby's skin complexion, they do it. Then I also know a lot of people mine that refrain from doing it. Hey, so let me know. And keep getting them checks. Jalen. Shoot up that club. Hey.
Great finish from Trav. Everyone's so invested. Everyone's so invested, Jalen Rose. We just wish the best for you.
I was like Kawhi Leonard the other night. Low management. Except he didn't play. I did.
Oh, God. Yeah. You're going to get us in trouble.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, trick-or-treating, cultural or regional?
I'm going cultural on this one. Because as I've gotten older, I started to grapple with the whole Hollywood Halloween theme thing, period.
Okay.
Molly and I initially were going to put on some costumes, and then it just became a last-minute thing, so we didn't. So I may do it with her next year. But like, I'm off the giving away candy thing. I've been off that for a long time. Like, and I've been living in the suburbs for 25 years and I'm still off of it. So I gotta say cultural.
I think it's regional. Because I feel like if you live in the city, you feel like you don't have the responsibility of giving out candy. Nope. Like in Manhattan, I'm not even going to buy candy. No one came to my crib yesterday. No one's even looking for it. Nope. But if you live in the suburbs where you've got a community and there's a little bit of lawns and space between houses, then I feel like it's expected for you to give out candy to the community. Yep. So I would call it regional. You call it cultural. I want everyone to enjoy their Halloween. Be safe out there. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that KRS?
What you did there.
We're not done. We're not done. Gotta give the people
time. Give people what they want. They my little guys. I love them.
What it do, baby?
Yeah.